I'd like to invite you to take your Bible with me, please, this morning, and turn, please, to the book of the Revelation, the 13th chapter. Revelation, the 13th chapter. We're in a series of messages under the theme, Piecing Together the Prophetic Puzzle. And today, we're going to place the Satanic Trinity in the prophetic puzzle. This is not a topic that brings us joy, but it's a topic, rather, that helps us to understand the whole counsel of God and helps us to build discernment against the days of danger that many believe are near at hand. Revelation, the 13th chapter, the 4th verse. And the Word of God says, "And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" Let's ask the Lord to bless as we look into his word. Now, Father, I pray that you'd allow your word to do its work in our hearts, that we would be discerning believers in a time when we ought to be looking up and realizing that our redemption is drawing nigh. Help us, Lord, with sincere hearts to pray with the Apostle John, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." And Lord, help us, even as we've been reminded this morning in song, and by testimony in the waters of baptism, of the need to go out and share the gospel that Jesus saves. And Lord, we know that you're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Lord, today we pray for some, even in this room, to come to know Jesus Christ, to come to know the blessing of forgiveness of sins, to come to know a relationship with God anew, and Lord, to have that fear dispelled, and have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Satan is not an innovator. Satan is not an inventor. Satan is an imitator. He loves to counterfeit. He produces many counterfeit things. In fact, the Bible reminds us in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 14 that the unbelievable work of Satan in our dispensation has been this. He has managed to transform himself into an angel of light. Our world is filled with counterfeit religions, and there are counterfeit churches and counterfeit ministers and counterfeit Christians. The true church is made up of genuine believers, and one day those genuine believers, the Word of God says, are going to be raptured in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The Word of God reminds us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Dr. John Whitcomb wisely warned that one moment after the rapture of the church, every surviving religion of the world will be a false one. So why all the false religions? Because, folks, Satan wants to be worshipped. In Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 14, God unmasked the motivations of Satan. Satan says, "I will be like the Most High." You'll recall that when Satan took Jesus up onto a very high mount and showed him all the kingdoms of the world, he said, "All these things will I give to you if you'll fall down and worship me." And you remember how the Lord responded? He said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Now there are some sad souls, thankfully their numbers are very few, who deliberately worship the devil. Thousands of people gathered together in Boston's Copley Square last April to the SatanCon. That's the Satan Convention. SatanCon. That's an appropriate name for what was going on. For Satan is indeed a con artist of the highest order. There are many sad souls who have been deceived. Satan has captured them, it seems, unawares. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that Satan is today the god of this world. He is, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 2, the prince of the power of the air. God wants us to know that his infernal majesty exercises incredible influence in our world today. But the Bible warns us that the influence of the imitator, though it's great, is only going to increase as the end times approach. The Word of God says in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13 that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. When the church is caught up away in that unique moment that we look forward to, the rapture of the church, then the unique ministry of the Holy Spirit is going to be suspended. What are you talking about, Pastor Phelps? Well, in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came in a unique way, indwelling believers, allowing us together who are here and dispersed from this place to be lights in a dark place and the salt in the world. But at the rapture of the church, the unique presence of the Holy Spirit will be taken away. The Holy Spirit is omnipresent, but his unique work through the church will be removed. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, you can look at it there. At that moment, from heaven we hear the cry, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time, he has rather, but a short time." You need to be warned. You need to be warned so that you will not be deceived. No one can be able to afford Satan's devices. Satan's devices are revealed to us in God's Word. We're not ignorant of them, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11 says. And he has a master plan. He has a master plan that he wants to unveil in the end times. Satan's last grand plan is going to include a worldwide government. You can read of it here in Revelation 13 and verse 1. The Word of God says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Upon his horns 10 crowns, upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Then at the end of verse 2 we read, "And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority." Part of Satan's great end time plan is to have a worldwide government. Part of his last great con job, if you will, he wants to have a worldwide religion. Again, you could read in Revelation 13 and verse 3, the Word of God says, "All the world wondered after the beast." And in verse 4 we read, "And they worshiped the dragon that gave power unto the beast, and they worshiped the beast." Satan's last grand plan is a worldwide government, a worldwide religion, and a worldwide economy. Again, Revelation 13, we read, beginning in verse 16, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Be warned, the ambitious plans of the devil are going to end in dreadful, terrible, awful destruction. Revelation 13, verse 14 says, "He deceives them. He deceives them that are upon the earth." The deceits of the devil will cause many people to follow after him. Today we discover that Satan has an ambitious plan that he's going to be administrating during the end times. He is, after all, an imitator, not an inventor. He is a counterfeiter, and he's saving his biggest con job for the end times. He's going to counterfeit the very Trinity of God. He's going to counterfeit the Trinity during the times of the tribulation. How's that, Pastor Phelps? Well, Satan desires to play the anti-father. Satan is certainly not the cartoon caricature that many people conjure up in their minds when they hear his name. He's not a cute little impish person in red long underwear with little horns. No, not at all. Satan is an immensely powerful, unusually beautiful, unalterably and unutterably malevolent spirit. He is the personification of evil. Now, Ezekiel chapter 18 reveals that he was perfect in all his ways until sin was found in him. None of the creatures that God has ever made has ever ascended higher than Satan, and none will ever be so dispossessed and placed so low as Satan one day will be placed. In fact, the cry of eternity is found in Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, those who are condemned to hell are crying out, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning?" Satan is the original sinner, and he seeks recruits. And those that he wins over, he sets into ranks. His titles are many. As we look carefully at the book of the Revelation, the 12th chapter, we find in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 3, he appears as the great red dragon. Red. What an appropriate color, for he bathes in the bloodshed of the world. As you see the murder rate escalating, you need to be reminded that Jesus said in John chapter 8, "You're of your father the devil. The lust of your father you will do." He was a murderer from the beginning. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, he's called the old serpent. He slithered out of the Garden of Eden, and he continues to slither into the souls of sinners, even around the world today. He is so very subtle. Again, in Revelation 12 and verse 9, he's called the devil. The word devil means slanderer. It means accuser. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10 reveals his poisonous work. He is the accuser of the brethren who accuses them night and day. Say, friend, does Satan have something to accuse you of? And does the character that the Spirit of God has woven into you allow those fiery darts to bounce off? Job was accused. Job was a righteous man. Satan, the devil, is an accuser. And there in Revelation 12 and verse 9, he's called Satan. It means adversary. He is our adversary, the enemy of God and the enemy of God's people. Listen, his terror is real. One day, and it may be soon, Satan is going to be hurtled down from the places that he today occupies, confined to the humble abode of this earth. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12 tells of that day. Look at it. Revelation 12 and verse 12 says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, and he has great wrath." That word wrath speaks of an emotional reaction, not of an intellectual plan, but now emotionally reacting to the judgment of God that's beginning upon him. He comes unfettered from reason to work out on this world that which is altogether evil. I believe that Satan himself has inspired the atrocities of every war that has ever occurred. He's a murderer from the beginning. I believe that Satan inspired the carnage of World War I. 9.7 million soldiers died, 10 million civilians. I believe that Satan himself inspired the atrocities of World War II, which took the lives of 15 million soldiers and 38 million civilians. And I believe that Satan is going to desire to spark a match that will inaugurate World War III. Listen carefully to Revelation 12 and verse 13. The Bible says, "Now when the dragon saw that he was cast upon the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." Who is this woman that brought forth the man-child? Her identification is given to us earlier in the chapter, Revelation 12 and verse 5. The Word of God says, "She brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron." Well, who is it that holds the rod of iron? Well, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 2 and verse 9 that Jesus Christ, the King of kings and Lord of lords, he alone is commissioned to carry the rod of iron. But look at Revelation 12 and verse 5 again. This one who brought forth this man-child, who's to carry a rod of iron, her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Well, that's speaking of the ascension of Jesus. So the woman who brought forth the man-child who will carry the rod of iron is Israel. And the man-child is Jesus, our Savior. And we read in Revelation 12 and verse 6 that the woman, Israel, fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that she should feed her there, or he should feed her there rather, 1,260 days. 1,260 days. That's exactly half of the tribulation period. Make no mistake, folks, Satan is going to launch World War III. And when Satan launches World War III, Revelation chapter 12 helps us to understand that his focus will be specifically upon the people of Israel. Isn't that interesting? Yes, it's interesting. You see, the same evil one who inspired the Holocaust in the 1940s that took the lives of 6 million Jewish people wants to inspire another Holocaust. He wants to persecute the woman who brought forth that child who ascended up into heaven. And events that are transpiring today in Israel ought to put us on alert. There is only one explanation to the ongoing anti-Semitism that is discovered in the world today. It's not a rational explanation. The only explanation to the rise in anti-Semitism that's happening globally today is spiritual. The only explanation is satanic. The passage to which we've turned today tells us that Satan himself wants to play the part of God the Father. He's cast down, the Bible tells us. He recognizes when he's cast down that he has but a short time. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 warns us in verse 3, when they will say peace and safety, it's then that sudden destruction comes upon them, like upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Satan is cast down, I believe, halfway through the tribulation period. He realizes that he has but 3.5 years left. And so he moves rapidly. He moves with desperation. He moves with great anger. We've been looking at the anti-father. The Greek preposition anti can be translated against, or it can also be translated instead of. I'm using the preposition to mean instead of. Satan wants to put himself forward instead of the Father. And in his master plan, there is also this one that we know as Antichrist. The scriptures speak of Satan's counterfeit Christ many times. In fact, there are over 30 names that are given to describe this awful character. Daniel calls him the little horn in Daniel 8 and verse 9. Paul calls him the son of perdition in 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 3. Here the apostle John calls him the beast in Revelation 13 and verse 3 and verse 4. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself sends the Antichrist. I want to say that again. Our Lord Jesus Christ himself sends, allows for, inaugurates the coming of the Antichrist. How's that, Pastor Phelps? Well, don't forget, Daniel chapter 4 says we serve a God who is ruling in the affairs of men. And you recall in Revelation chapter 6, that a book with seals is given unto the only one who's worthy to open those seals, the Lamb of God. And when he opens the first seal, John says he saw a white horse. And the one that was on that white horse was carrying a bow. No arrows, only a bow. He goes forth to conquer. He goes on a white horse, the sign of victory. He goes with a bow but no arrows because he's coming in peace. And it's Jesus himself who opens that seal and allows the Antichrist to come. And the Bible tells us he's coming in peace. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26, he's called the prince that shall come. And in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, we read that he's going to confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. 1:7. Confirming that covenant with many for 1 week. Some have thought the Antichrist must be Mussolini, must be Hitler. All kinds of ideas as to who the Antichrist must be. Many of those ideas have come and gone. We have no time to look at those ideas today, but we can do this. We can look at Revelation 13 and discover the origin of the Antichrist as he's being described. For John says, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea in chapter 13 and verse 1. If you look over at chapter 13 and verse 11, a second beast comes, but that beast comes up out of the earth. Students of Bible prophecy have long seen the sea to represent the Gentile nations. The Antichrist represents the Gentile nations, and the earth to represent the land of Israel, the home of the Jewish people. It seems that everybody has a theory about where the Antichrist is coming from and who the Antichrist is. Again, no time for us to look at those theories this morning, but we can know this. He's going to be an amazing political leader. He is, after all, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 26, the prince who will come. And Revelation 13, 1 says he has 10 crowns that he's wearing. The Bible describes him in his operation. As the Antichrist begins his operation, we discover what he's going to be like. He's a man of tremendous power. He has religious power. Revelation 13 and verse 4 tells us that all the people of the world will want to worship him. He possesses tremendous military power. Again in verse 4, who is able to make war against him? He possesses tremendous power of oratory. In verse 5 of Revelation 13, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Not only does the book of the Revelation talk to us about Antichrist, but the book of Daniel tells us much about the Antichrist. In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 23, he's described as a person of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences. In Daniel chapter 8 and verse 25, the word of God says, through his policy, he shall cause craft to prosper. In other words, there's going to be an economic boon when he comes to sit upon his throne. But Daniel 8 and verse 25 continues. It says, he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace he will destroy many. Those who follow after the Antichrist will follow him to their own destruction. How sad. The world that rejected the real Christ follows after the Antichrist. Jesus said this would be so. He said in John chapter 5 and verse 43, I am come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. Look around, folks. The world is looking for a leader today. Desperately hungering for a leader. Back in 1980, the U.S. News and World Report magazine quoted historian Ronald Steele, who said, I don't see on the horizon the kind of political leadership that can explain to us this new world in which we live. It will take some with a vision to do so. We've not had that kind of leader for a long time. For now, we're in a time of pygmies when it comes to leadership. Paul Henry Spaak, former Prime Minister of Belgium, startled the world when he said, we do not want another committee. We have too many already. What we want is a man of sufficient stature to hold the allegiance of all people and to lift us out of economic morass in which we're sinking. Send us such a man, and be he God or the devil, and we will receive him. Friend, there's a question that needs to be asked today. Have you received Jesus Christ as Savior? One day there's an Antichrist coming who's going to deceive the world. God's purpose, however, will not be set aside. God says in Psalm 2, yet have I set my son upon the holy hill of Zion. Jesus Christ, the Savior, will reign. Satan's purposes are going to be destroyed. He presents himself as a false father. He presents also a false son, and there will be an anti-spirit. Students of history talk about the remarkable oratory abilities of Joseph Goebbels, who was made the propaganda minister for Adolf Hitler, how he wooed crowds to follow after Adolf Hitler. The Bible tells us in Revelation 13 and verse 11 that there's one coming who has even greater skills than Goebbels. He's coming out of the earth, it says. He's talking here about the anti-spirit. I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb. He spoke like a dragon. His origination, no doubt, is from this place called the earth. And again, the sea being the home of the Gentiles, the earth being the home of the Jewish people. And so it is that many believe that the anti-spirit is Jewish in origination. And we know for sure that he has religious power, for he is presented as a lamb when he comes. And his operation is given to us. Read with me, beginning in chapter 13 and verse 12. He exercises all the power of the first beast before him. He causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. He had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Oh, there's much for us to see here. Let me just highlight a few things. First, did you notice that the anti-spirit preaches a false resurrection? In verse 12, he speaks of the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And the anti-spirit practices false miracles. Verse 13, he doeth great wonders. And the anti-spirit, according to verse 14, empowers an image. Sounds an awful lot like artificial intelligence. He deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of the miracles that he does. And the power that he has, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image of the beast. In verse 15, he had the power to give to life to that image of the beast. This anti-spirit exterminates those who will not worship the Antichrist, for he causes as many who will not worship, verse 15, that they should be killed. And the anti-spirit controls the world's finances by requiring everyone to receive the mark of the beast. He causes all, verse 16, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in the right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save those that have the mark and the name of the beast or the number of his name. There is going to be a cashless society. We live in a microchip age that people say can weave the world together. We also live in an age of tattooing, and with infrared devices and tattoos that are placed even under the skin, such an occurrence is just moments away. For all appearances, Satan's great imitation is amazingly near at hand and could be indeed amazingly successful. Should we be looking for the Antichrist? Should we take a message like this morning and go out and hunt through current events saying, I'm going to identify the person who's the Antichrist? No. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7 says that the one who's now withholding the Holy Spirit is going to continue to withhold until he's taken out of the way, and then that evil one is going to be revealed. I think the person who thinks they've identified the Antichrist is going to be identifying one that even God himself would not identify, just to make sure that you were wrong. We can't identify who he is, but we can tell what he's going to do. Daniel chapter 9 says he's going to sign a covenant with the Jewish people for a 7-year period of time, and Satan's counterfeit is going to rule for 7 years. Then God from heaven is going to continue to thunder, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Turn with me to the book of the Revelation, the 19th chapter, Revelation chapter 19. Let's see what God says in verse 20. Revelation 19 and verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. Those both were cast alive to the lake burning with fire and brimstone. Those who side with Satan will surely see Satan's demise. Mighty power, yes, but not almighty. Turn with me to Revelation 20 and verse 10. We read, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. The devil was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and should be tormented day and night forever and ever. Today, Satan is peddling his lies as he prepares the world for his ultimate imitation. But there's good news that we've sung about this morning and heard about. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Will you accept him as your Savior? Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, the Word of God promises, will be saved. Trust him today, and don't be deceived by the master counterfeiter who we've considered this morning. Will you stand with me, please, as we pray? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, and no one looking around.